All right, let's turn over into your Bibles to the Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. This will be hopefully our first Sunday in 2020 and starting a new book of the Bible, our vision for our vision to grow. And I'm going to be using the book of Philippians to be able to lay some things out. Each chapter has entitled really an aspect as far as a vision, some aspect of that. So chapter 1, we're going to be looking at a vision to serve because there's so much in there, especially when looking at the Apostle Paul, about him serving the Lord by serving others. In chapter 2, we're going to be looking at having a vision for others because there's so much in that chapter. Not looking inward on yourself, but looking outward. How can I serve somebody else? How can I help somebody else along? In chapter 3, we're going to be looking at a vision to lead because we see aspects of that, again, with the Apostle Paul's life and as well as Timothy, who we'll talk about as well today, and just seeing how they were leaders in the Philippians, and again, having a vision to be able to lead others in some aspect of our lives, we're leading somebody. And so we'll see those things in that chapter. Then finally, in chapter 4, we'll be looking at a vision for accountability, understanding the Lord's return and the things that we need to do. And of course, He's going to hold us accountable for what we do and our lives as Christians, something that really we all need to have, because as human beings, if we don't have accountability, we tend not to do the things that we are supposed to do. We have it in our workplace, in our jobs, something that we'll be talking about here a little bit in a second. But we need that accountability. So that's how we're going to end up in chapter 4 for us, four aspects of a vision as we come through the book of Philippians. There's a lot in this book. It's an incredible book to go through and study. Looking forward to it this year. I mean, a lot of times you see people talk about what is the theme of the book of Philippians, and they'll talk about it being joy, rejoicing, and we will definitely see that. Another theme that I see a lot in this book is being like-minded, being of one mind, because we see that throughout the study of this book as well, which we'll see. But we're going to be using this, as again, God laid on my heart, to really understand what it is to have a vision to grow. We talked about it last week as we laid out our vision for 2020, and started it with the book of Ephesians in chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. Really, a church, any local church, should be teaching and equipping its people in the Word of God to be able to minister, to edify. They have to grow in our walk and relationship with Christ. And if we're not growing, we're going the other direction. We're going backwards. And so it's important for us, I think, as we start this study, dealing with the Philippians, is why do we need to grow? Why do we need to grow? Well, we need to grow because the Lord wants us to serve Him. And part of serving Him, we need to be able to grow to the place that we're able to continually to do that and to be able to grow in that by serving. So we're going to be looking at just two verses today. A lot of our study in the book of Philippians will be like that, where we study just a couple of verses here and there at times, sometimes, and maybe three or four and so forth. But today, we're just going to be looking at really the introduction of this, verses 1 and 2. I'm going to go ahead and read it, and we'll have a word of prayer, and we'll get started in what we need to see today. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, it says this: Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 1, we're going to be looking at simply serving. Verse 2, we're going to look at sustaining, understanding how we need God's grace and peace to be able to sustain our service for Him. And really looking at this, I have it as title as a vision to serve, but there's one aspect I was thinking as a reviewing of this. I'm going to ask this question: do you really have a vision to serve, or do you have a vision to sit? So often in Christianity, that is the case, that people have a vision to sit. You know, not do anything with the grace that God has given them. And they're satisfied with where they're at. And maybe I should have sung the song today, Standing on the Promises of God, because I've heard it said before, it's standing on the promises and not sitting on the premises. And I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to challenge you today to be able to serve God. And I want you to get out of your mind the thought of like, well, I can't serve God because of this, that, and the other, fill in the blank. Every one of us, doesn't matter our background, doesn't matter the things that we've been through, doesn't matter the things that we've done in the past, being in Christ, dealing with His grace and His peace, we are able to serve God, and He wants us to. He wants us to grow to the place that we're able to serve Him on a daily basis. All right? Let's pray and we'll get into it. Father in heaven, again, I thank You and praise You for today. I thank You for what You're doing. I thank You for this new year. I thank You for the book of Philippians. I thank You for these two verses that we're going to be looking at today. Lord, as always, I pray that You just get me out of the way, Lord, and that You would speak to us through Your Word. Now, Lord, all of us, starting for myself, need to hear what these two verses have to say. Two verses that similarly start almost every book of the Apostle Paul in some aspect of dealing with grace and peace and announcing who he is and so on. But there's a lot that we can learn as we look at Paul, as we look at Timothy or Timotheus, and as we look at the importance of why you've given us your grace and your peace. Lord, help us to have a vision to serve you. Help us all to want to grow in our walk and relationship with you, not to stay stagnant, not to go backwards, but to be moving on, pressing toward the mark. Lord, help us understand these things. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, from verse 1, it says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. And the first thing I want you to look at is the very first word, the very first name, and that's Paul. All right? There's a lot that we can talk about. And I mean, again, it's not my aim today to do a character study of Paul nor of Timotheus, but I do want to give you enough to understand as far as who Paul is and the importance of that and what we can even learn from just understanding that Paul is a writer that God uses to write to the Philippians this letter. And to do this, I want you to just go over to one place. I want you to go over to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, because one of the things I really want to do, I think, with this message today is to encourage you, not to come down on you, not to beat you over the head with a Bible or anything like that, but to encourage you that you can be used of God. It does not matter what your past is, all right? You can be used of God to serve Him, all right? And that's what the Lord wants. He wants us to serve Him. That's why we are here, is to be able to serve Him, to give Him glory, to give Him honor. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, I want you to pick it up in verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, it says this. This is Paul speaking to Timothy, his son in the faith, and we'll talk about Timothy here in a second. It says this, And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. I mean, first just realize that Paul is talking about, again, he's giving a testimony of his life, and it was Christ that enabled him. It's not that Paul had all these gifts and talents and things like that. And we can talk about, you know, Paul, and we will later in the book of Philippians, about his background even more so. But the thing to understand today is that it was God that enabled Paul. And it's the same God that enabled Paul to be in ministry. It's the same God that wants to enable us to be able to serve Him in ministry. And he goes on because, see what? He counted him faithful. All right? That's why God was able to put Paul in the ministry. He enabled him. And Paul was faithful to the things that the Lord had laid out in his life and had put him in the ministry. Let's move on to verse 13. It says this. Who was before a blasphemer? A blasphemer, somebody that speaks evil of God and speaks evil of the Word of God. I mean, that was Paul's past. Part of it. He was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious. That word injurious means he caused injury, and that he did. Remember, he was at the stoning of Stephen. That happened in Acts chapter 7. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Paul was used, he's the apostle of Gentiles, he is the first one to be saved in the body of Christ. He sets the pattern for us to everyone who would follow thereafter. But we'll probably have more to say on that as we go through the year, but here's what I want you to see today. Paul's past. I mean, that's a pretty bad past. Injuring people, persecuting people. He was a blasphemer. He described himself as chief of sinners. Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. All right? He wasn't looking at somebody else and saying, oh man, look how bad they are. He's looking at himself and says, man, I'm chief of sinners. And here's the point that I want you to understand. It's talking about having a vision to grow, a vision to serve God this year, is that it does not matter your past. God's grace and God's mercy is able to save you and equip you, sustain you to be able to serve God throughout this year. It doesn't matter. Put the past in the past. In fact, if you don't understand that, understand what Rafiki says in Lion King. It's in the past. It doesn't matter. It's like you're quoting Lion King. Yeah, really, because I was talking about Disney to some people earlier this week, and it's kind of sticking in my mind. If the world can understand that, we most certainly should understand that with the Word of God in our hands. And a lot of times, we allow Satan to guilt us and say, look at your past. There's no way that God can use you because of look at what you've done. Go a step further, because we think about that, and it's like, well, yeah, but, you know, I get that, but there's things as a Christian, as a believer in Christ that I've done, and there's no way, and we let Satan guilt us to think that God can't use us even as a believer when we messed up. It's like, it's in the past. I said, we will deal with it when even more so when we get into Philippians chapter 3. Again, but the past is the past. Nothing you can do about it. You literally can't do anything about it. What you can do is learn, pick up, and continue on. And that's what we see. And that's what the thing that we can learn about Paul right now is exactly that. And like, man, it's in the past, and God's grace is incredible, and God still wants to use us. Have you ever had a job? So you make some mistake. Generally speaking, I mean, unless it's something so egregious, they don't just fire you. What do? They correct. They train. Hey, you know, don't do this again, all right? Here's what you need to do. You pick up and you go on. You continue on. You think God is some ogre up in heaven. It's like, oh, you made a little mistake. I'm sorry, I can't use you anymore. No, that's not it at all. His abundant grace, his abundant mercy, all right, that he gives us to be able to serve him. Pick up the pieces, continue to move on. We go back, and again, not that we necessarily need to read Philippians 1:1 again, but I will. It says, Paul and Timotheus. I want to pick up the next verse in Timothy. All right? Paul was working with Timothy. A lot of times you see Paul working with somebody in ministry. It's very rare that you see Paul working alone and dealing with ministry. He's working with somebody. I mean, there's a few times you see him where he's by himself in a city, but that was not his intent. He always had somebody that he was working with in ministry, and that's why a body of believers is so important. That's why us getting together is so important, that we can serve God not just by ourselves, but we can serve God with each other, because we're better together than what we are alone. There's no Rambo Christians. I mean, I got one person in this church that really loved me and saw the latest Rambo movie, and that's Brett. All right, my family didn't want to see it with me. My own son, my flesh and blood, didn't want, but Brett wanted to see it, and we saw it together, and it was awesome. But the point is, in Christianity, it's not a matter of being a Rambo Christian, doing it on your own. We're a body of Christ. We're an army together with the Lord Jesus Christ, working together. And you see that with Paul working with Timotheus or Timothy. I want to see the first time that we pick up and understand Timothy, and that's going back to Acts. So we've got to go back to the left. Acts chapter 16. Now remember, we looked at Acts chapter 16 and laying out our vision for the year. And, you know, and it's on this missionary journey that we see where Paul picks up Timothy to be able to go with him to minister. So let's look at Acts chapter 16. We'll read the first three verses here of this chapter. In Acts chapter 16, it says this, starting in verse 1. It says, then came he, Paul, to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek. So Timothy's father, what's being laid out here, wasn't a believer. His mom was a believer in Christ, but father wasn't. And verse 2, it goes on, that says, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Timothy, or Timotheus, had a great testimony. Paul hears about this. Verse 3, it says, him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews, which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. Now remember, Paul, in his ministry, he was trying to reach everyone for Christ and understanding the grace of God, Jew and Gentile. And so he had Timothy circumcised just because of that, again, being able to not be offensive to Jews that they're trying to reach, but again, trying to, again, become all things to all men that some may be saved, as Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. But you see that Timothy has an incredible testimony, and his mother and his grandmother raised him. We know that. We studied the book of 2 Timothy a couple of years ago, but I do want you to go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 real quick in verse 15, just to see again how Timothy was raised by his mother. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, just down in verse 15. 2 Timothy 3, verse 15, Paul again writing to Timothy says this, and that from a child that has known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Again, this is something that was a testimony for Timothy. He, from a child, his mom raised him from a child in the Word of God, which obviously made him wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And so that's the testimony that we see with Timothy. So as we go back to Philippians chapter 1, we see with both Paul and both Timothy, again, how the Lord had given them to a place where they're able to be used of God to be able to minister the truth of the Word of God. Here's what you need to understand. Paul was just a human being just like you. Timotheus, just a human being just like you. They were not super Christians. It's not that God gave Paul and Timothy something more extra to be able to understand and to learn and grow in the Word of God necessarily, to be used of God, that he didn't give and afford us the opportunity to. It's a matter of choosing what are we going to do with what God has given us, with the grace that he's given us. We're either going to choose to serve the Lord or not. You know, we have to be in Christ. Salvation takes place first. I mean, to be able to serve God, we've got to be saved. That's first and foremost. We understand that. But a lot of times, we get stuck right there. We just think all it is to be saved, and then I go to church, and I hear some message, we do some songs, some praise, that sort of thing, and that's it. No, it's like every aspect of our life should be glorifying God and being able to serve Him no matter it, no matter what job you have, no matter if you're retired, no matter if you're in school, no matter what the case, you're volunteering in the community, whatever the case is, that we should be able to serve God. And that's the very next thing that's being talked about here in this verse. You look at it, Philippians chapter 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ. Paul doesn't say in this that he's an apostle. I know there's other places where he talks about him being an apostle and so forth and so on. But he simply says that Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ. It's like somebody asked me about my life. It's like, you know, what are you doing? You know, what are you all about? What is the main thing in your life? It's like, you know what? What motivates me is, you know, I'm glad I am a Christian. It's not a matter of, well, I pastor a church. I have started churches. I've helped start churches. I've been a missionary in the field. Blah, 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 blah. No, it's about being a servant of Jesus Christ. I'm a Christian. And that's what it is for all of us, because that's what it comes down to, that all of us should serve the Lord Jesus Christ, being servants of Him. Now, I want you to go to Colossians real quick. Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to pick it up in verse 22. These are things that we can look at and seeing if we are in a situation where we have a job, we work outside the home, that this is definitely a great passage to be able to look to how we're supposed to do our job. But it's also in general and what we need to do in being a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 2, picking it up in verse 22, says this, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, as long as they're not asking you to do something that's against the Word of God or illegal." We're supposed to do what? "Obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Not with eye service." That means you're only serving them when they're looking at you. It says, "as men pleasers." I'm sure we've all worked with those kind of people. It says, "but in singleness of heart, fearing God." That singleness of heart, that being single, is the same idea as being focused, not being double-hearted. That's how we're supposed to serve our masters according to the flesh. I mean, again, you have a job outside the home, you work for some organization or employer or something like that. This is how a Christian is supposed to approach that job. Your boss gives you something to do, you do it. You obey in all things. Again, long as it's not against the Word of God, it's not illegal, you obey. You obey in all things. And you're doing it with a hard attitude that you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we get into. You pick it up in verse 23. It says, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto man." Again, that you're not serving man. You're actually serving the Lord. And you're doing it not with eye service as men pleasers. You're doing it with singleness of heart, fearing God. You want to do a good job at your job because you're bringing glory to God, that you're serving Him in reality, in singleness of heart. You're focused on serving Him. And then you do your job, do it heartily. I'm sure all of us know people on your job that they don't do their job heartily. They do it half-heartedly. Somebody's like, "Hey, Charles, I know some people that don't even do it half-heartedly, like an eight-heartedly." All right? I mean, they think they're doing a service by just showing up to work. All right? They get mad at you and ask them to do something, like do their job. I mean, we've all experienced those kind of people that just do the bare minimum to try to scrape by. Well, that's not what a believer in Christ should do. heartily, giving it your all, going above and beyond. You continue on, and the motivation factor why we do this, we should do it because we love the Lord. But he goes on in verse 24, and it says this, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. You know, God loves us all. He loves us the same. All right? It's not like one has more love over somebody else in the body of Christ. It's not like that at all. He loves us all the same. It's an incredible love. A love that's unmatched. Nothing that we could ever have on this planet or be able to reproduce. I mean, he loves us tremendously. But he's also no respecter of persons. All right? What I just read, what we just come through in the Word of God, these are commandments. This is what we are supposed to be doing. It's not a suggestion. All right? When I get an email from my supervisor and says, Charles, I need you to check into this and do this, it's not just, if you want to, if you feel like it. All right? It's not just a suggestion. It's something that is a command that I need to do. All right? I get the email and I look at it and I said, hey, yeah, let me check this out. I need to do some investigation here and see what happened. And you know what? Nope, that didn't take place like it needed to take place. I need to write this up. That was like a few months ago or something like that, a couple of months ago. Okay? I had to do that and turn it into, I'm being held accountable for that. It's something that I have to do. That's what it wants me to do. And here's the thing that we need to really check ourselves is this. Especially for those of us, we have a job outside the home. I hope I'm not stepping on any toes or anything like that. But it's amazing how times we will bend over backwards and make sure that the boss is pleased. And not a bad thing. But when it comes to the master, and God asks us to do something, it is amazing how we have all kinds of excuses of why we can't get it done. God asks us to do some things to serve Him. I think an easy example of this, maybe sick. Weather may be bad. I'm going into work. Not that I'm going into work. Why? Because what? We get a paycheck. And if I'm not at work, then I don't get paid. There are times where we will do everything we can to make sure we get to work and get on time and so forth and so on, even though the weather is bad, even so forth and so on. God asks us to do something. I don't know. Weather's not too good out there. And I understand there's legitimate times where, again, I'm not going to ask you to come to church and there's an ice storm. All right? That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is we can easily come up with excuses of why we don't serve God and follow His commandments that are laid out here over and over again. Right here. You're still in Colossians. Chapter 3, verse 22. Servants, obey in all things. Do we obey the Lord in all things that He lays out in the Word of God? Do we? It's not a suggestion. It's something that He wants us to do. Something that we're commanded to do. Obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men please us. I mean, that's something, we got to understand. God watches us all the time. All the time. In my job, I barely see my supervisor because I work nights. I'll see him in the morning time when he comes in, starting when he's in the day. I mean, he works a straight 40-hour week, 8 to 5 type thing, whatever. I mean, I barely see my supervisor. I probably have more communication with him through an email or something like that. And sometimes I don't even have that. It's like my job, a lot of it, I am there alone. I'm not even there working with another agent. There's very few hours I'm actually there with a new agent. The majority of my time, I am my own boss. I am by myself. So I can easily, just slough off and do nothing or whatever. I mean, it'll catch up to me. But the issue is I need to work because I'm working for the Lord. I'm working for He's watching all the time. All the time. And we forget that He is watching us all the time because we don't see Him. We don't have office hours with God necessarily. We don't have physical times that we sit down with Him. And we tend to forget. It's like we talked about in our question after Bible study. It's like the Lord can return at any time. We get complacent about that. We don't think about it. We just do our lives. The Lord can come back at any time. Are we ready? What about serving Him? Not just with eye service. Not just when it feels good. Do we serve Him? Verse 23, and then we'll move on. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Are we serving Jesus Christ heartily? Giving Him everything we got, or are we just trying to scrape by the bare minimum? Oh, I read a couple of verses this week. You know, I prayed when I had this thing going on. Is it daily, wholeheartedly serving Him? Let's go back to Philippians chapter 1, move on. It says this, again, chapter 1, verse 1, Philippians. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are in Philippi with the bishops and the deacons. This covers the gamut of everybody in that church. Saints, bishops, and deacons. Bishops, same thing as a pastor. Pastors. I mean, there's more than just one pastor in the church of Philippi. That's something that is really a biblical model. I mean, church is small, but the idea if you have churches, there should be pastors, bishops. I mean, it's not just a one-person show type thing, but also deacons. I mean, those are the leadership, we can say. We see those offices laid out and the qualifications for them in 1 Timothy chapter 3 lays those qualities out for us, what a bishop and a deacon is supposed to do. But I really want to hone in on the first thing that's being said there. It says, to all the saints. This is something that's to all the saints. Now, there's a certain church that would have you believe that only a saint is somebody that has, been some leader, that has done 3 miracles in their lives, and they've died, and then they get beatified, and then they become a saint. And then once they're a saint, you can pray to them, and they're the saint of this and the saint of that. Like the patron saint for police officers and law enforcement, so to be Saint Michael, whoever Saint Michael is, and so forth and so on. And that's what the church would predominantly have people believe, is that's what a saint is. A saint in the Bible is somebody who is saved. Somebody who's in a body of Christ. That word saint means to be set aside. Sanctification is another word that relates to our being holy. It's the same idea. That's what a saint is. Somebody who has accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior is a saint in the Word of God. So don't let some confusion by a different denomination or church or what people think that what a saint is. A saint is somebody that has accepted Jesus Christ. For the person that, whoever it is, I'm sure right now as I'm preaching, there's somebody in the world that has accepted Jesus Christ as a personal Lord and Savior. They are a saint. Doesn't have anything to do with how they serve God or done some miracles in their life or any kind of hogwash or anything like that. A person who is in Jesus Christ is a saint. You've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior at some point in time in your life, you are a saint this morning. And saints need to serve. God wants us to serve. It's not just for the bishops and the deacons to serve Jesus Christ. That's my point here as we end verse 1. Because that's what a lot of times Christians say. Well, it's the pastor's responsibility. It's the leadership. It's the deacon's responsibility in serving God. I just come and show up and they got a face to preach to and so forth. I appreciate that. But, no. We're saints. Every one of us. It is the responsibility for everybody in the church of Philippi to be serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just the bishops. Not just the deacons. Not just for the person that's been saved a long time. Every person in Christ, God wants them to serve them to the fullest capacity that He has given them. It does not matter what your past is. It does not matter your background. It doesn't matter how much you know or think you know or don't know in the Word of God. It's a matter of having a heart. Lord, let me serve You. I didn't have this plan, but I do need you to go to Romans real quick. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. It says this. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That verse is not to the deacon. That verse is not to the pastor or the bishop. It's to everyone. Everybody being in Christ. What Jesus Christ has done for us and dying on the cross, suffering our hell, it is our reasonable service to present ourselves as a living sacrifice. God, here I am. I'm your saint, ready to serve you. To everyone. To everyone. Well, how are we going to do this? By God's grace and God's peace. That's how we can sustain service no matter how bad the world gets, no matter how broken down our bodies get, and as we get older, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They can still serve Him. Philippians chapter 1, verse 2. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the three are one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. They are one. It's one God. It's not three different gods. There's some Christian denominations that have them divided out and that they are three different gods. You know, they're not one. They are one. The Word of God lays that out. But I like how it is laid out here in a sense where it talks about we have God's grace and we have His peace. It says from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like double-fold grace, double-fold peace. And that's important because there's grace, and I've explained this before, grace far as our salvation and grace far as our service is concerned. We have peace far as our salvation is concerned and peace far as service is concerned as well. Well, let's break it down. Let's look at grace, all right? So, grace be unto you. Again, we think of this as typical Paul's beginning of a letter and so forth, and we read past and we don't really think about it and really dwell on it like we need to. Well, we need to. Grace. I want you to understand this. I want you to go back to the book of Ephesians. Next book back. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, and we will read through verse 10. Because, again, there's a lot of, I put every religion in the world, besides biblical Christianity, and our dispensation now teaches and preaches that you got to work your way to heaven. You can't work your way to heaven. And nothing you can do to earn your way to heaven. All right? Everything's by the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, says this, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast." Because we know if we were saved by our works, we would be doing exactly that. This is what I did to get in heaven. And you know how people are. We all have those people we know that are the one-uppers. You know what? Yeah, I was driving to work the other day, and the car got a flat tire. Oh, yeah? I had two tires that got flat. On my way to work, yes. You know, I mean, this got to one-up you. You got to one-up you. You know what? You know, I sprung my ankle when I was doing the football game the other day. Oh, yeah? I broke my leg. You know? I mean, they're always the one-uppers. You know? If salvation was based on our works, that's all it would be in heaven. Not giving God the glory, but boasting about ourselves. That's our human nature. So it's not by anything that we have done. He goes on and says, again, verse 9, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." Verse 10, "For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." In other words, we don't do good works to be saved. We are saved, and then we have the good works. All right, we don't do good works to get saved. Our good works is because we are saved. And He has works laid out for us to do that we need to do what? Serve Him in doing that. We should walk in them. It's our choice. God gives us the grace to be able to, obviously, as far as our salvation, but also to serve Him. I want you to go further back to the left, to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to look down in verse 10 and see what the Apostle Paul says again concerning his salvation. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, down in verse 10. Says this, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." Paul says, I didn't receive God's grace in vain. There was labor, there was work that He did, but it was really God's grace working through Him. And it's the same grace that God gave Paul, it's the same grace that God gives us. God did not give Paul some special grace that He has kept back from us today. It's the same grace. The issue is that Paul used God's grace so that God's grace would work through him to accomplish the things that God intended for his life. And the same God that had a plan of service for Paul is the same God that has a plan of service for us today. To use that grace. God didn't save you just to sit. God saved you to serve. To serve Him. And I tell you, there is no greater life and adventure than just giving yourself over to God's grace and allowing God's grace to work through you to be able to serve God. It will be an adventure. The other day, I was kind of flipping through the channels, and Indiana Jones, the first movie, was on. And I happened to see it to where they're going down to the pit, and they're getting ready to get the Ark of the Covenant, you know, and there's all these snakes on the floor and all this other stuff, and lightning's going on in the background and all this other stuff. I mean, it was a great movie at the time. It was fun. But I remember a preacher saying, you know what, the Christian life should be like an Indiana Jones adventure. It really should be. The reference that comes to my mind right now is in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I think it's verse 8 or verse 9, where it talks about where no eye has seen, no ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. We have no idea the things that God has for us in 2020. I'm sure God's got some great things planned out for each and every one of us in 2020, but what is it going to take? Us willing to have the grace of God to work in us. Be willing to grow. Be willing to be able to take the truth of the Word of God and apply it to our lives. But you got to want to do it. That's what you see in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10. With Apostle Paul, he says there, it's like, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. He had his part that he worked to do. All right? If you want God's grace to work for you, you want your life to be an Indiana Jones adventure, then you have to be willing to say, Lord, let me spend time to work. Let me utilize that grace that you've given me. So it's not in vain. Look over to 2 Corinthians real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1. Another time Paul lays out here, he says this. It says, 2 Corinthians 6 verse 1, it says, we then, as workers together with Him, that with Him is God, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Here's what it's a critical verse. We have the privilege to labor with God of the universe. The God that created everything. You guys know, we have the new puppy. So, last night and evening, go outside and making sure the puppies do what they need to do outside of the house, not inside the house. I'm looking up, and it's clear sky. And the constellation Orion was pretty close to the horizon. It's like, it just looks huge. It's so close to the horizon. It's just the marvel of it all. I talk about it every so often. And it's like, the God that created everything, including us, we have the opportunity and the privilege to work with Him. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? Have you ever had the opportunity that you know that God has used you to open up the Word of God and sit down with somebody and to see their lives change because they received the truth of the Word of God and God used you as an instrument to give the Word of God to somebody else? Do you understand the privilege and the awesome power that it is? And if you've never done that, I'm imploring you, I'm encouraging you, get to a place where you grow. Allow God's grace to work in your life to do that. It'll be a drug that you will not get enough of. Happens to be in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where Paul talks about a group of people that were addicted to ministry. The only time that word is ever used in the Word of God, and it's with about ministry. Only one time in all the Word of God is the word addicted, and it talks about the house of Stephanus that addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians. I'm telling you, if you allow God to use you to minister the Word of God to others, you can start getting addicted. And when you see people's lives change by the very Word of God, that's what it's about, not having the grace of God in vain. You see, understand that. If all you do is get saved, God's grace for salvation, and you never do anything, you just sit instead of serve, God considers that His grace in vain. Yes, you're going to heaven. Yes, you don't have to worry about being an attorney in hell. You can't lose your salvation. But if you do nothing with that grace, God considers it as vain. It's vain. You go back to Philippians chapter 1. again, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only do we need God's grace to sustain us in serving Him, we need His peace. His peace. And the book of Philippians itself, obviously we'll deal with it in some greater detail when we get there, but if you look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, it says this, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." There's no shortage of God's peace. No shortage of His grace. He can give you peace. As believers in Christ, we have the access to all of God's peace, the peace of God. And the reason why we have that is because, again, we have to have peace with God first in order to have the peace of God. You go back to Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Says this. Romans 5 verse 1. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Before anybody accepts Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, they're not at peace with God. God's not at peace with them. They need to accept the sacrifice that God provided. His Son, Jesus Christ, died, buried, rose again the third day. We accept that truth. We have peace with God. For the married folk in the crowd, we had an argument with your spouse. Was there any peace until it got taken care of? No. Wasn't. I've shared this before. I remember in our first year of marriage. You know, I have an argument because Trish obviously did something wrong and I was right, and I stormed out of the house. You know, I'm like, so I slide that by. Maybe she worked all night. Maybe I got that in without her hearing it. You know, I don't know. Anyhow, we had some stupid argument. You know, I'm just going to read my Bible. Trying to read my Bible. I'm not getting anything out of that Bible. You know why? Because no peace. I had to have some reconciliation before I had peace with my wife. Well, our sin is the same thing in our relationship with God. I mean, you don't have, no lost person has a relationship with God. They can talk about, oh, I love God and follow God. There's no peace there. There's no peace. God doesn't have any peace with you until you get your sin taken care of. And He's provided how to have that done. And as soon as we accept Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior, we have peace with God, as it says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." It's only through Him. And because when we do that, we're able to have access to the peace of God all the time. No matter, because, you know, serving the Lord, there's going to be some suffering. A lot of escorts today. We're saints, being saved by our Savior, Jesus Christ. He wants us to serve Him. But there's going to be some suffering, but that's okay. Because God's able to provide that peace. Just like we saw in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Every time I talk about that verse, hearts deal with your emotions. Mind deals with your thinking. A lot of times we don't see clearly God's answer and everything because our emotions are out of whack and our thoughts are out of whack. God's able to provide that peace that passes all understanding to keep your heart and mind, your thoughts and your emotions. I'll give you another reference and we'll be finished up. Why don't you go to 2 Thessalonians. And chapter 3 and verse 16. There's a lot of good 3:16s in the Bible, more than just John 3:16. Here's 2 Thessalonians 3:16. This is a good one. And we're going to need it. It helps sustain us in serving the Lord. We need His grace and we need His peace. Not just for salvation, but also for service. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3:16, it says this, "Now the Lord of peace Himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. The Lord of peace is able to give us peace always by all means. Here's what I want you to take away from today's message as we get started in Philippians and talking about a vision to serve. Don't let anything that you've done in the past before Christ, even after you accepted Christ, anything that you've done that has been against His word stop you from serving the Lord now. You're still here, still breathing. That means God wants to use you. Don't let a lack of knowledge, or I don't know enough about the Word of God, or any other excuse, stop you from serving God. He's able to equip you. He gives you the sustenance to be able to serve Him by His grace and His peace. Be like Paul. Labor in the Word of God. Allow God's grace to work through you. If you have never sat down with somebody and shared the truth of the Word of God, to be able to see them light up, to see them get it, to understand it, I mean to be able to accept Christ, to be able to grow in their walking relationship with the Lord, to see them learn, I'm telling you, it's like a drug. You start doing that and you see and you understand that, hey, God, I'm able to work with God. God's working through me to be able to reach this person. I'm telling you. That's what keeps me going. Drug I gotta have. If I'm not ministering the truth of the Word of God, it's like, you know how people are when they're on drugs and they don't have to get the shakes. It's all messed up. Sad. You look at me and it's like, well, you know, well, you're a pastor. When I was 19 years old and I got saved, guess what? It's not like God beamed down and all of a sudden I just knew everything there was to know about the Bible. Boom! Wow! Awesome! Woo! No. Didn't know anything. Still don't know a lot. It's a matter of just trusting God and just every day spend some time in His Word. Spend some time praying. Alright? Times I trip, I fall down. I know the Word of God. I messed up anyway. I was like, well, okay, help me, Lord. All right? Let's not do that again. Let's put some things into my life so I don't do that again. Get up and keep going. My point is this, is that don't let Satan, don't let your past, don't let any excuse stop you from serving God. God's grace is incredible. There's not anything that you have done or can do in your life that God's grace says, nope, can't cover that. There's not a thing. I believe it so much that if Osama bin Laden accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior, God's grace would have covered all the stuff he did. Not saying there wouldn't be consequences, but there's not any wicked person on this earth that God's grace says, nope, can't do that. And there's some wickedness in this planet. And people have done some awful things and do some horrible things. But if they submit themselves to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's grace covers them, and God can use them. The Apostle Paul, blasphemer, he put people in prison. He wasted the church. He did horrible things. What did God's grace do with Paul? Saved him and used him. And to this day, probably the greatest Christian ever. So much so that he's the beginning of the body of Christ. Obviously the Lord Jesus Christ, but through Paul. God uses Paul. Nebuchadnezzar, ever read about him in the Bible? He submitted himself to God. Manasseh, the worst king that Israel ever had. So bad that God said, you know what? I don't care what happens out of this. Israel is going into captivity. They've been taken over by the Babylonians. Even Manasseh submitted himself to God. Yeah, there were consequences, but he still submitted himself to God. There is not anything, anybody, any situation in this world that God's grace can't cover and that God's grace can use that person.
I don't think anybody here has done anything like Manasseh. I know nobody here, because if you did what Manasseh has done, you'd be in prison right now. I don't think there's anybody here that's done the things that Apostle Paul did before he was the Apostle Paul, when he was Saul. I don't think there's anybody here that did those things. God used him. I don't think anybody here has done anything like Nebuchadnezzar. You go to Daniel chapter 4 and you see where Nebuchadnezzar is praising God, submitted to him. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that God can cover their sins with His grace and use them. He can use every one of us. It's only us that stops it. It's not God. It's us. We come up with excuses of why we can't do something, or why this, that, that. I'm of this age, or whatever the case is, we can be. Whatever it is. All God wants is someone with an open heart, an open book, willing to have His grace work in their lives. Challenging you. I'm challenging you this year. Have a vision to grow. Have a vision to serve God. Get with God and His Word. See what He wants for you to accomplish this year. Whatever area that needs to be worked on. I am challenging you to grow and to serve our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, I thank You and praise You for Your Word. I thank You and praise You for everything that You have shown us today. I want to pray to be an encouragement that we too can be used of You. It's not a matter of having to have a big building and having to have a whole bunch of people or anything like that. It's not a matter of those things. It's a matter of an open heart and an open Bible. Willing to submit, willing to learn, willing to serve. Lord, help us to not take Your grace in vain. Allow Your grace and Your peace to work in our hearts, to be used of You, to serve You. That's Your desire for each and every believer in Christ, no matter their position in the church. It's a matter of their position of being in the body of Christ. We're all saints, being in Christ. Saints that need to serve and not just sit. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.